Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and you,
Kevin O'Sullivan.
We're here. It's the second week of January. It's bloody freezing, by the way, out there. Some people have been complaining that we don't end the podcast anymore with the word cunt.
Fucking will today.
But we'll fucking try and remember to do it today, cunts. Okay? Fucking bastards. You're always complaining.
Yeah, we've got to start using the word cunt a lot more.
I know.
Because it is so offensive.
It is very offensive, and of course, some people find it very offensive, no matter what we say. But talk about offence. What about that cunt Sir Ed Davey?
What?
Hey? Fucking hell.
Now, never was the word cunt more appropriate than for the Lib Dem leader, who, when he was post office minister, fucking ignored all the sub-postmasters who were wrongly accused of nicking loads of money off the post office. That bloke, Alan Bates, of Mr. Bates versus the post office fame, begged the post office minister, Ed Davey, for a meeting. So, can't see any useful purpose would be served.
Certainly
that.
Not.
And worse than that, almost, we had a guy on our show earlier this week, a poor guy, who lived in Mr. Ed Davey's constituency, which is Kingston and Surbiton part towards the west of London. He was a sub-postmaster, tried to kill himself, begged his MP to hear his story three times. He wrote to Davey three times. Davey refused three times, three strikes, and you're fucking out.
Yes.
You're fucking out.
Now claiming that he did meet Mr. Bates, which he did, but of course by then it was too fucking late. And he also, which I think a lot of people have forgotten, made a bucket load of money out of a law firm that he was attached to. I know this was after he was post office minister, but he was actually making profits off of the lawyers who were going after the postmasters and the postmistresses. 200,000 quid he made.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
And, so, of course, he's called for 34 people to resign, called for Boris Johnson to resign 16 times. And it's not often I would praise Nicky Campbell on Radio 5, but he did make a very good comment. Mm. He said, if Ed Davey wasn't Ed Davey, he'd be calling for Ed Davey to fucking resign. He didn't say fucking, but my point. And that is a very, very good point. And the Lib Dems can't wait to ditch that cunt. Because if he's in charge as they go into the election, they'll get even fewer seats than normal.
Well, because you know what his problem's going to be? After this week, when he didn't turn up at Prime Minister's questions, apparently he had some family emergency.
Coward.
Now, that may well be true, so I'm not going to give him too hard of a time for that. But he can't keep ducking and diving. And if he wants to lead the Lib Dems into the next election, you know what's going to happen. Every time he turns up anywhere, people are going to ask him about the post office. Yeah. And he's going to have a fucking answer, which he won't have. So I think they're going to dump it. They're going to have to.
I think they will. And we've only learned today that a former councillor in his constituency, who was a sub-postmistress, she's going to stand against him in the election. And if he's stupid enough to stand again, she will beat him.
Her name is Yvonne Tracy in Kingston in Surrey, formerly the manager of a post office branch down there, going for the Kingston and Surbiton seat. Unbelievable, right?
Go Yvonne.
It'll be like the Martin Bell situation, won't it? When he wore the man in the white suit, when he kicked out Neil, what's his face?
Hamilton.
Hamilton, and Christine Hamilton, the ghastly couple, who actually aren't that ghastly, they're quite funny. But he won that election, so it shows you the power. And this could turn into, which I hope it does, a sort of people power election.
Absolutely.
Because the people are sick to fucking death, politicians. They're sick to death. You know, the Labour people are getting all worked up. I mean, all day today, I've been getting flamed by all these Labour supporters because I dared to suggest that Keir Starmer might have done something about this when he was head of the fucking CPS, right? Yeah. But of course, they can't have any criticism of St. Keir. And they go, don't you realise that it's nothing to do with the CPS, you fucking moron?
Yeah, it is!
And I'm like, well, actually, no. 37 cases were brought by the CPS and were involved with the CPS, so he should have known what was going on. And why is it about Keir Starmer that he doesn't remember most of the big stories of the time when he was in head of charge of the CPS? Yeah. He doesn't remember about Jimmy Savile. He doesn't remember about any of the fucking grooming gang cases that were brought to their attention. He doesn't remember about any of that, but he does remember to save the lives of some, child-killing Africans and Caribbean people when he goes to make sure the death penalty doesn't exist for them. What an absolute plank.
Well, listen, 736 convictions. There are actually thousands of cases.
Yeah.
So, Keir Starmer could reasonably say, I was director of public prosecutions when the CPS brought about 37 cases against accused, wrongly accused, yes, sub-postmasters. He could say that, you know, it's only 37, but he was involved up to his fucking neck. And yesterday, again on our show, we had a guest, a woman, a poor lady, who was locked up, sent to prison, when she was 8 weeks pregnant, and it was on the birthday of her 10th, it's the 10th birthday of her son, yeah, that's when she went to jail,
right,
and she gave birth.
She gave birth in jail, right?
She gave birth with a tag on, and I guess it was responsible, yeah, for that conviction. The Crown Prosecution Service, the head of which at the time was Sir Keir fucking Starmer,
yes,
so don't fucking tell us he didn't have anything to do with,
right,
it.
Right, and also don't tell us that people who are pregnant, women who are pregnant going to jail, are not red flagged to people, because it's always a big thing to actually put a pregnant woman in jail. But here's the other thing. How easy is it to get put in prison if you're a bank robber, or if you're a fucking rapist, or if you're a fucking, a mugger?
Yeah.
It's quite difficult. Everybody now says you have to commit maybe 30 to 40 crimes,
yeah,
and be caught for them before you go anywhere, yeah, near jail. These people got suddenly put into jail for the first offence. How, yeah, does that fucking work?
Yeah, no, okay, exactly, exactly. No, I mean, you know, it goes without, this is an enormous scandal. What's slightly depressing, I mean, you know, we expect governments and politicians to be shit and useless at everything. That's a given. So they haven't reacted much to this ongoing scandal, but it started in 1999, nearly a quarter of a century. It took a television drama,
yeah,
to alert the government to the urgency of the situation, and frankly the people of Britain as well. I mean, it's good that the people of Britain have gone fuck this, but Christ's sake, read the papers,
yeah,
look at the fucking news. This has been going on for a quarter of a century, so all those holier than thou cunts now going, oh, we're going to do something, this is a scandal, what were you doing last year, what were you doing 10 years right ago, you didn't even fucking,
yeah, know
about
it. Do you know what I think about this, and this is why it's such an incredible story, is that people sometimes just need a sort of touch point.
Impotence.
Something,
yeah,
just something which turns them. And this is what it's been. Because it's not that this is the most amazing story of all time, although it is brilliant.
I think it is a big,
it is incredible.
Incredible.
But no, but we are now living in a country where people are sick to death of the way it's been run, sick to death of fucking COVID lockdowns, yeah, of fucking being told where you can park, where you can't fucking walk, where you can't get a fucking train, where you can't drive your fucking car, yeah, and they're just going, you know what, fuck you lot, none of you know what you're doing, I'm going to kick you all out, bunch of fucking cunts.
They are, you
and
know,
I think that's the mood of the nation.
Absolutely, and you know, these what this was, this post office story, what this is, it's about the establishment.
Yeah.
It's about the establishment circling the wagon.
And how smug,
you know,
they are.
It's not going to be the... We're not taking the blame for this. The post office isn't taking the blame. We're going to throw 736 completely innocent fucking sub-postmasters to the wolves to protect people like Paula Venables,
yes,
who was the no longer CBE, who was the chief executive of the post office throughout this, walked away with a £5 million quid payoff, got £3 million worth of bonuses while she was...
And she got put in charge of the National Health Trust.
Yeah, well, that was afterwards. So, yeah. But while she was presiding over this shit show, throwing poor people to the wolves, protecting the reputation of the establishment and the post office, she got all these bonuses. She got a fucking... Never mind your fucking CBE. And the money back, Paula.
Yeah, I know.
And by the way, I'm sure she is being investigated by the police. We reserve judgment on whether or not she's guilty, of course, but the police need to feel her collar and fucking investigate her. This is a disgrace.
No, sorry, the police haven't got enough time for that, because Justop Oil have asked them to investigate Rishi Sunak for crimes of genocide,
yeah,
because it may well be that by asking for people to look for more oil and gas in the North Sea, there's some kind of massive genocide,
yeah,
going
on. I'm afraid, Mike, that's going to take second place to them investigating war crimes in the Gaza.
Yeah.
Come on, you fucking coppers. Do your fucking job, you useless cunts.
Yeah.
Fucking imagine, sick of it.
Can you imagine in the old days when they used to have police whistles and they'd blow the whistle to get more police to come? I mean, literally nothing would happen now. Imagine blow the fucking dog whistle and literally nothing happens.
Yeah. Imagine a fucking copper, a British copper with his big bobby hat on, running through Gaza,
yeah,
going,
right, yeah,
war crime, war, yeah, crimes.
That's right. Well, I said the only chance they've got of getting and catching anybody for anything in Gaza is putting up a fucking speed camera, which is all they seem to be bothered about.
Yeah, they'd be good on that, good on that.
Do you know, I got fucking done over New Year driving in a bus lane, right? and I've just had I've to had pay that the before, fine yeah. because it was a place that I know quite well, but they've recently changed. You know the way they've changed the way the road goes, right?
Yeah.
And I was driving behind this bus. It was New Year's Eve actually, before I came to your gaff, and I was out in the morning, and I was driving behind this bus, and I thought this feels a bit weird because we're going sort of in this one direction, but the only other option I've got is to go on the other side of a barrier, which is like a curb with flowers in the middle of it. And I thought, if I do that, surely that's the wrong side of the fucking road. So I just stay where I am. So I stayed where I was, and sure enough, I'm in a fucking bus lane, £65 fine.
Fucking.
Absolute wanker.
Fucking cousin. No doubt, keep calling it Sadiq Khan, Keir
Well, Star. I mean, it's Freudian slip.
Sadiq Khan is working on expanding the ULEZ scheme to Gaza, no doubt. Right, should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on. Channel 4
is in the shit because nobody watches its shitty programmes and therefore it's got an advertising crisis, so it's going to have to lay off loads of staff, hundreds of staff.
How have they even got hundreds of staff?
They're not going to be fucking working there much longer.
Good.
They've axed
I hope
two.
Bring any of them over here.
They've axed two.
We've got some great ideas for some news shows.
Yeah, I've got some great woke ideas.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're going to axe. They're having to axe two programs. One which was just total crap, Steph's Packed Lunch, and the other.
Oh, they're axing that.
Yeah.
Fucking hurrah!
Well, no one ever watched it. That's because it was shit.
It shows you how shit that the fucking awards business is. Though, didn't it win an award recently?
I think it was nominated. Yeah. And anyway, the other show which used to be quite good, SAS Who Dares Wins, they wokeified that.
Yes. Is that the one that Ant Middleton was?
Yeah, but they got rid of him because
he got cancelled
because he's got right wing opinions. Yeah. Great guy, by the way. Met him at Piers Morgan.
Yeah, me too. He's a good guy.
They got rid of Ant and they wokeified it, so now they're axing that as well. But anyway, I compiled. So somebody said, "Oh, well, it's because they made all these woke programs." Yeah. I said, "You know, I'm a big fan of the principle: go woke and you go broke."
Yeah.
But to be fair to Channel 4, their programs aren't that woke. They're just shit. Right? Listen. I've got a list.
Give us a rundown.
I'm going to give you. It's a fairly long list, so bear with me. But I think you'll see. I think it's justified to do them out. Here's a selection of Channel 4 programs, and then ask yourself, why is this channel in the shit? Here we go.
Right.
Is Love Racist?
What?
Yeah. Also. Is COVID racist?
Fuck off.
Here you go. Naked, alone, and racing to get home. My massive cock. I'm not making these up. I'm not making these up. Know your shit.
I remember my massive cock, actually.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Know your shit. You started it, no doubt. Know your shit inside your guts.
Fuck it.
Secrets of the female orgasm, vaginas. Open House, The Great Sex Experiment, The Perfect Vagina, Me and My
Otherwise Known as The Perfect Cunt.
Me and My Penis, The Man with the Penis on His Arm, The Man with 10 Stone Testicles.
Yes.
Why the fuck is this channel in trouble?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, the people who you would normally expect to be the most prurient kind of, you know, slightly... moralistic types who think that, you know, everything that anybody right-wing does is absolutely abhorrent and immoral and ghastly, always want to do shows about sex because they think, oh, if you put sex in it, loads of people will want to watch it.
Yeah.
But it's literally puerile, you know, adolescent crap.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to see a show about somebody's vagina? You know, if you want to watch pornography, watch fucking pornography.
Exactly.
You know?
Really,
you don't want to watch anything else like short pornography.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing, I looked into them once. I can't remember what the story was, but I thought, I'll just have a look at Channel 4's kind of, you know, 24-hour schedule. And do you know that for all of the times when they're not, say, what they would call in prime time in the sort of evenings, an awful lot of what they put out is just reruns of American comedy shows.
Yeah.
Literally the cheapest form of kind of syndicated entertainment. So for anyone to say, oh, we must keep Channel 4, you know, vital for the health of the nation because they do the kinds of shows that nobody else does. Yeah, because nobody else fucking wants them.
Yeah, no, the man with the 10 stone testicles, no thanks.
What a load of bollocks.
But also, you, exactly what I was thinking, you just said it. I'll tell you why they put these programs on. They're obsessed with nudity. Right. So Naked Alone and
racing. Don't they do Naked Attraction as
well? Yeah, well, they've axed that. That's fucking terrible. Long
I watched that by accident one night. Fuck me, it was bad.
Bullshit.
Who wants to look at a load of ugly looking people's fucking, ugly, you know, genitalia?
Ugly no cunts thanks. With no clothes on. Yeah. No thanks.
That's what I should have called it.
But, you know, Naked Alone and Racing to Get Home. That is when they like take someone's clothes off,
right,
dump them in the middle of the countryside, and they've got to get home.
Really?
I mean, so fucking what?
That's ridiculous.
So they're obsessed with nudity, and it is second-rate porno. Yeah. So I'll tell you why.
Yeah, but even, I mean, in the old days, right, when you and I were 15, it's the kind of thing we might have watched. But nowadays, when you're 15, you've probably already seen some of the most horrendous fucking porn you've ever on the fucking internet.
Yeah,
you know?
But if you're on terrestrial television like Channel 4 is, and you're trying to appeal to the 15-year-old market, you're fucking wasting your time, because they won't watch you whatever you put on in a month of Sundays. And you're right. It is second division porn, and the reason it is so prurient and pathetic is because Channel 4 is run by a bunch of ex-Guardian wankers who don't really understand the masses, they don't really understand the
and
people,
and
they think, hey, you know, people just love sort of sex and nude, don't they?
Those little people, you know, the ones that just sort of wander about in squalor and drink in those public houses that we don't go to. Oh my God. Did they not try and move them all up to Leeds or something at one point? Because remember when Jon Snow still did the news? I don't even watch the Channel 4 news anymore. It's that shit. Because I used to watch it just to get annoyed, right?
Yeah.
Now I don't even bother. But wasn't there some issue when they were trying to relocate Channel 4 up to Leeds to sort of spread the fucking wealth, as it were?
Well, they fucking have.
Well, yeah, but Jon Snow refused to go.
Yeah.
Because he's never been north of fucking Watford, you know.
He's never left London.
No, he doesn't mind exploring the fucking, you know, the developing world, but he won't go anywhere north of fucking Barnsley, you know. But, so are they all based up there now, then?
Yeah, they've gone up to Leeds, so no longer...
And they've fucked it.
But the point is, it's middle-class pricks trying to second-guess the working classes and making shows that are frankly juvenile, prurient, ridiculous. The Guardian reader's idea of what must appeal to some readers, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
And some readers, by the way, are a lot more cleverer than that, and they're a lot more clever than the fucking fuckwits who run Channel 4. So that's why Channel 4 is in trouble. Mm. And by the way...
isn't this also the same Channel 4 who this week launched some kind of inquiry into the appointment of some of the new board members of Channel 4 because they're all white? And they said, oh, there must be something wrong here. They've actually called for an inquiry into how four people who were hired to be on the board of Channel 4 all turned out to be white.
Yeah, but who complained? You see, this is the television industry. This is what's so fucking mad about it. Television companies like Channel 4, they don't get to nominate and appoint their own board members.
Right.
That has to be done by Ofcom, the regulator, the TV watchdog. So Ofcom nominated actually five directors, four of whom got the gig. The other one was a person of colour, and funny enough, the government objected to her, but they got four white people, actually. And of course, Channel 4 said, you're going to give us all white people. No, that's not diverse. No. Now, I kind of get that to an extent, but people should be appointed to positions, important positions, like directorships of television channels, because of their ability, their suitability for the role. And if you look at the qualifications of the four white people who got the gigs, they are eminently qualified, and that is the way we should choose them, not the colour of their fucking skin.
In fact, some of them, by a bizarre twist, are actually quite woke individuals. You know, they're not the sort of people that you would say, they've appointed a load of fucking white, racist right-wingers. But
important to stress, Channel 4 didn't appoint them.
Mm.
Ofcom appoints them. And, of course, woke Channel 4 said, oh, you give us four white people. We don't want that.
Oh, God.
So, what a load of bollocks. And Channel 4, just close the fucking channel.
Yeah, what's the point
close
of Channel 4?
Down, because then we won't have to endure Channel 4 fucking
Isn't there
news.
Also some suggestion that there's... the conversation's going on about how it's going to be funded in the future, because wasn't the government trying to sell it off or something? Weren't they?
Well, that was the Tories' idea, but
our friend and colleague. It was Dean Doris
was dead keen on that, and so was I. But of course, it remains partly a public service broadcaster. Right. Quite what public service is performed by the man with the penis on his arm, I don't fucking know. By the way,
We do the shows, nobody else.
By the way, anyone know what the man with the penis on his arm is all about?
Is it about a man with
the
penis?
About a bloke who lost his cock or something in a fucking lawnmower. Right. So they grew it on his arm.
Why did they put it on his arm?
Well, because that was a good place
it's
to
easy
harvest.
For to wank it off.
Harvest a new dick, yeah.
So he can reach it while he's on the bus.
Yeah, so he didn't fuck women. He gave him a good shouldering.
That is horrendous, isn't it? Absolutely. Now, talking of sex, have you seen the latest sort of... if you're into this kind of thing, and I'm not particularly, but this caught my attention today because I was reading about it. The next sort of Agatha Christie case, which is going to come up, I guess surrounding Kyle Walker. Kyle Walker, you know, the player from Manchester City, who was caught, you might remember, not that long ago, maybe last year, exposing himself in a bar, right? Well, it turns out that Kyle Walker, who's got about 27 million quid, has fucked around one time too many on his
wife's left.
His childhood sweetheart, right? And he hasn't got a prenuptial agreement.
Ah!
Right?
She's fucking
taken into the fucking cleaners. Because it now would appear that he may have had two children with this other woman who he claims not to be seeing anymore. So the wife, basically, whose name is Annie Kilder, who's been his childhood sweetheart, lived with him, worked with him until he
put up with
famous,
him. Put up with him.
Put up with all of his philandering. Has now basically had enough. And she's gone... we're going to have some time apart, and she's talking to the same PR team that helped Colleen Rooney.
Yeah, I read that. Right? It's all.
So over, I think this is going to get quite interesting.
I read it all over the front page of the Sun, and I thought, oh my God, our colleague and friend Jeremy Kyle's in trouble because he said Kyle to be divorced, you know, two-timing Kyle to be divorced by wife. But this is also the fucking cunt who, during the middle of lockdown, got caught with two prostitutes.
Yes.
And then when he was caught, he went to see his sister.
Right.
Drove
that's
all
right.
Illegally. Yes. His sister said, Kyle, you dumb fuck, you're not supposed to be here.
I mean, God bless him. I suppose...
good player, by the way.
He's very quick. If nothing else, he's holding up the proper reputation of football.
Footballers,
you know.
Keep
striking
going.
Striking a blow for the shaggers of the football world.
Keep
you know?
Going, yeah.
And he's not interested in taking a fucking knee. He's more interested in getting down and dirty with some bird in the back of his Bentley. But very funny. Should we talk about the dreadful state of the Prince Harry latest development, where he's going to become some kind of aviation fucking
superstar. Legend of aviation alongside Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong.
They've been to the moon. He's been to a helicopter situation in Afghanistan.
Well, yeah, his second tour. The story is, so the first tour of Afghanistan, for which, by the way, we're not pissing on him for being brave in Afghanistan. Good for him. His first tour, he was on the ground.
Yeah.
He begged to go back and said, we can't fucking risk it again. And he kept hammering at them. And in the end, said, all right, well, if you go back, we can't have you on the ground. You'll have to fly a helicopter.
Yeah.
So to be fair to him, credit to him, he took the course. Apparently came second, for Christ's sake, even though he's dyslexic. And became a helicopter pilot. It's good for him. So he performed his duty, he served his country. Great. But does flying a helicopter like lots of other soldiers in Afghanistan, does that make him a legend of aviation? I don't think so.
Well, my mate Colin McLeod could fly a helicopter. Maybe he could get into the fucking legends of aviation as well.
Well, I've been on a passenger jet. Does that make me a legend
of
aviation?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on a lot of planes. I mean, I think I could qualify.
We are legends of
aviation. You know.
By the way, so... this is an awards ceremony in London, Beverly Hills, not in London. It's hosted by John Travolta. Other recipients of this honour, I said Buzz Aldrin.
Yeah. Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong.
Who famously told me to fuck off once.
Yeah, well, for telling you to fuck off, he's getting...
he is a legend.
He's getting an award posthumously. These are the people. But also, Tom Cruise is getting one for playing a pilot in Top Gun.
See, that's bollocks,
anyway,
isn't it?
There's a suggestion, as I was saying, there's a suggestion. Angela Levin, royal biographer who knows Harry, she says there's a rumour going around that he's actually paid to get this fucking award.
Right.
We don't know whether that's true.
Well, they haven't had much luck lately, so maybe this is the beginning of a new year for them.
But you know, if he knew anything, if those two idiots in Montecito, Harry and Meghan, knew anything about publicity, Harry would swerve this award ceremony like there's
just
no
say, I'm not worthy.
Because when he stands up there and says, I'm a legend of aviation, everyone will fucking laugh at him.
But also,
Harry, you're not a legend of fucking aviation.
But also, this is what they now do, because if you think about all the various outings they've had in all these various sort of black tie dinners, and even that one in New York where they had the high speed chase. It was all about them getting an award for something. You know, oh, let's give the Archibald Foundation an award. Oh, let's give Meghan Markle an award. And that's why they go to anything. And they only go if they get an award, which is really why they didn't go to the Golden Globes. But let's take just a little quick short-term stop here, because we're going to hear from our friends at Shopify. We'll come back to you after this. Hey, Kevin, do you know what that means? It's that something I've been hearing a lot lately. It's that ka-ching noise. And I have to say, it sounds like money to me. But I feel like I'm missing out, because it seems like everyone is either starting a side hustle or a business or becoming their own boss. And do you know what they're hearing a lot of? It's this sound. It's the sound of yet another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your very own business. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionising millions of businesses worldwide. And it's coming to the UK. It's in the UK. You can get hold of it anytime you want, whether you're selling T-shirts, whether you're selling podcasts, whether you're selling any kind of merchandise, whether you're selling fine art, or whether you're selling flaky salt. You could also be selling something to do with fashion, homes and gardens, health and beauty. You know, I mean, Christmas is coming up after all, and you might as well get a bit of a boost. Covering all of your sales channels, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can successfully grow your own business. It gives you a shopfront ready point of sale system to its all-in-one e-commerce platform. Shopify even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram and TikTok. It's full of the industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth. Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand without learning new skills in design or coding. So I think even you could probably use it. Thanks to 24/7 help and with an extensive business course library, Shopify is also ready to support your success every step of the way. And also, what's lovely about Shopify is that no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and the control to take your business to the next level. A little bit when we decided to go out there and start doing live shows, and when we started doing podcasts and we started doing all sorts of other things and merchandise and all of that. You know, it's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today. This is all possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice. It's all lowercase. So go to shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice to take your business to the next level. Don't forget, shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice. So we're nearly finished.
What
else have you got to mention?
I'd like to ask you, you're a parent. Keir Starmer, he has, not only do we know that he'll be a massive imposer of the nanny state, because that's what Labour does.
Although presumably he won't do much about big stories that happen, because he doesn't remember any of those.
But he's a fucking socialist, so it's all about big government. And they want to fucking stick their nose into every area of people's lives. So he proudly announced the government will teach children how to brush their teeth. Go fuck yourself.
Fuck off.
It's not your fucking job.
Yeah.
And then he
said, you should teach Diane Abbott
to count.
Why don't you teach Diane Abbott to count before you do anything
else? Good luck with that.
So this is
what he said, that the government will get involved in making your kids healthier, and they'll even be taller. That's what he said.
How are they going to be taller?
So this is their fucking slogan: vote Labour, get taller. Fuck off.
Yeah, it hasn't worked for Sadiq Khan.
He honestly said...
Yeah, but it hasn't worked for Sadiq Khan. He's not very tall at all.
No.
Starmer's not that tall.
No, exactly. Then again, they were not recipients of the nanny state government the massive nanny state government that Keir is promising us. So he literally is promising us that if we vote Labour, our children will get taller. Go fuck yourself, you fucking idiot.
Is that really the best they can do?
Is
that the most they can offer? It's a bit like Corbyn. Do you remember Corbyn back in 2019?
Yeah.
By the time the election actually came
around, he promised us everything.
He was literally promising everybody, you know, practically a new car, free holidays,
free broadband, free televisions, and all right, I'll give you £1 million each.
I'll tell you, how much do you want? Okay, give me £1 million, I'll vote for you. Okay, then.
But even Corbyn didn't think of vote for me and I'll make your kids taller.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever fucking heard.
Fuck off.
Absolute bollocks. How are Fulham doing anyway?
Well, last night we were recording this the night after Fulham gave Liverpool the scare of their life. We lost 2-1 at Anfield, but I've got a ticket for the home leg of the semi-final of the Caribou Cup, and I'm telling you right now, we're going to fucking beat those.
And then you'll get to go, and then you'll get to go to Wembley.
Yeah, not? Yeah, of course.
Which will be quite exciting.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm not buying the ticket yet.
Well, maybe you can get yourself some kind of freebie.
Now, honestly, though, we played pretty damn well. Gave them the fright of their lives. We were 1-0 up until 20 minutes to go. You know, Liverpool, a fucking good team.
Yeah.
But we always do really well against them. So I've got high hopes that we're going to fucking kill them at Craven Cottage. Or at least get an equaliser, which will mean a penalty shootout. We're pretty good at penalty shootouts.
It'll be a good night.
So I'm not writing us off for Wembley. And furthermore, this Saturday, you're probably listening to this podcast around the weekend, I'm off to Shittsville, Stamford Bridge, where Fulham are playing away to Stamford Bridge's falling down.
You better stay out of the way because it gets a bit tasty down there.
You know what our chant is? You know, the black and white, you'll never pass. You can stick the blue flag up your fucking arse. Fucking Chelsea.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
By the way, we have a worse chant when we play Brentford. One of them, when I say we, I'm not a chanter, but I sit below the
chant.
They can
be quite funny.
They're fucking hilarious. Yeah. I love football chants. And when we play Brentford, the main one is they do it for the whole match. Fucking hate Brentford. Anyway, there's a special chant that we have for the manager.
Very imaginative.
We haven't done with this one. there's no reason for this chant, but this is what they chant about the Brentford manager. Yeah. They go, the Fulham boys are on a bender. Thomas Frank's a sex offender. He's not, by the way, but that's what they chant.
Yes.
Maybe we'll talk about football chants next week.
We should do
that. I love football chants.
That is the thought police this
You're
week.
All cunts.
Yeah, you see, I told you we'd do it. Just ask. All you got to do is ask to be called a cunt, and you'd be more than happy,
happy to
Kevin
oblige.
To oblige.
You're absolutely
We'll see
cunts.
You next week.
Cheers.
Bunch of fuckwits. We'll be right back.